Once I dreamt that I saw a man dressed in torn and filthy clothes. His name was Christian, and he lived in the city of destruction. I saw a heavy burden tied to his back and a book in his hands. As he read from the book, he started to cry and to say, "Oh, what shall I do?" I watched as he walked to his house. Although he did not want his wife and children to see that he had been crying, he could not keep quiet. "Oh, my wife, my dear, dear children," he said, "I am so sad because of this terrible burden pushing down on my back. Also, I have learned that our city will be burned up with fire from heaven. We must find a way to escape, but I do not know how." Now his wife and children thought he was ill and sent him straight to bed, hoping he would be all better in the morning. But he could not sleep. The burden stayed on his back and made him so uncomfortable that he tossed back and forth all night. And he could not stop thinking about the fire from heaven that was going to burn up his city. The next morning he felt even worse, and I'm sad to say that his family did not treat him well at all. They began to scold him and tell him that he was scaring them with his terrible stories. Sometimes they laughed and said that he was silly for believing his book, and sometimes they would not even speak to him. They were so mean to him that poor Christian left his house to walk outside in a field all alone. One day, as he was walking in the field, bent over from his heavy burden, he was reading in his book. What he read scared him so much that he began to cry and say, "What shall I do to be saved? Who will remove this terrible burden and save me from the fire that will burn up my city?" He wanted to run away, but he did not know where to go. Just then, a kind man named Evangelist walked up to him and said, "Why are you crying?" Christian answered, "Sir, I have been reading this book and I have learned that the city I live in is going to be burned up with a fire from heaven. And I, and my family, and my house will be lost. When I think about it, I cry." Evangelist asked, "Then why are you standing still?" And Christian told him, "Because I do not know which way to run." Kind Evangelist smiled at him and pointed his finger across the wide field. "Do you see that gate?" he asked.
"No."
"Then do you see that bright light?"
"Yes," answered Christian, "I think I do."
"Then you must keep looking at that light and walk straight towards it. It will lead you to a gate. When you get to the gate, knock on it. Someone will answer and tell you what to do." Now when he learned that there really was a way for him to escape, Christian began running across the field, looking straight at the bright light. Christian's family saw him running away from their city, and they began to call his name and say, "Come back! Come back!" Two of Christian's neighbors ran after him. Their names were Obstinate and Pliable, and they wanted to catch him and bring him back home. When Christian saw them, he said,
"Neighbors, why have you come after me?"
"Because we want you to come back home with us," they said.
"Oh no," Christian told them. "You live in the city of destruction. I am running away because one day that city will be burned up with fire from heaven. You must come with me."
"Come with you?" said Obstinate. and leave our friends and our nice homes behind?
Yes, said Christian, because you will find much better things in the city that I am going to. You can read about it in my book.
I do not want to read your book. Are you coming back with us or not?
No, Christian said. I am not going back. Obstinate looked at Pliable and said,
Christian is crazy. He is going to leave his city, his house, his family, and his friends just because that book says he can find a better city. You come with me now. We're going back home.
But what if he is telling the truth? Asked Pliable. We will have better things than in our own city. I think I might want to go with Christian.
What? Said Obstinate. Are you crazy too? Terrible things will happen to you if you go with him.
No, said Christian. There are only good things in the city that I am going to. Here you can read about them in my book. Pliable looked at Obstinate.
I am not going back home with you. I am going to go with Christian.
I watched in my dream as Obstinate turned in a huff and went back to the city of destruction. But Christian and Pliable began to walk together towards the bright light that would lead them to the gate. As they were walking across the field together, Christian said to Pliable, I am so glad that you have decided to come with me. And Pliable said to him,
Christian, please tell me more about the wonderful things we will find when we get to our new city.
Well, we will live forever in our new city, and we will wear crowns and clothes that will make us shine brighter than the sun.
That is wonderful. What else will we have?
No one will ever be sad or cry. The owner of the city will wipe away everyone's tears.
And who will be there with us?
We will be there with seraphim and cherubim. They will dazzle your eyes, and you will meet thousands and tens of thousands of people who have gone to that place before us. None of them are mean. Everyone is loving and holy. And we will all be in the presence of God, accepted by him forever.
Oh, just hearing about it makes my heart so glad. But how can we be sure that we will have all these things?
Because the Lord has promised that he will give them to us if we are truly willing to have them.
That is so exciting. We must hurry.
I would like to go faster, but I cannot because of this heavy burden. Now I saw in my dream that as they were talking, they were getting closer and closer to a smelly, bubbling, slimy swamp. It was called the Slough of Despond. And because they did not see it, they both suddenly fell in and were covered with the disgusting mud. Poor Christian, because of his heavy burden, was sinking deeper and deeper into the swamp.
Well, where are we now, Christian?
Pliable yelled.
I don't know.
If we have so much trouble at the beginning of our journey, what will happen later? If I get out of here alive, you will travel to that new city alone.
And with that, Pliable struggled out of the swamp and ran all the way back to his old home in the City of Destruction. Meanwhile, Christian was tumbling in the swamp alone. But he still struggled on towards the side that was nearest the bright light and the gate. Only he could not get out because of his heavy burden. I wondered if he was going to drown in that smelly mud. And then, in my dream, I saw a man whose name was Help. He came to Christian and said,
"What are you doing here?"
"Sir," he said, "a man named Evangelist told me to come this way. He said that if I followed the bright light, it would lead me to a gate, and there I would escape from the wrath to come. I was doing just that when I fell into this swamp."
"But why didn't you look for the steps?" asked Help. "The Lord has built steps in this swamp so that travelers like you can get out."
"I was so scared that I could not see them," Christian said. Then I saw in my dream that Help reached in, pulled Christian out of the Slough of Despond, and sent him on his way. The swamp that Christian had fallen into was filled with the fears and doubts that men feel when they are burdened with their sin. The Lord has put steps inside the swamp so that pilgrims can climb out. These steps are made from his promises of love and mercy. But often, frightened travelers like Christian cannot see them. Christian was once again on his way to the gate. But someone else was walking towards him who was not going to be helpful at all. As Christian trudged on alone, a well-dressed gentleman came walking across the field to meet him. The gentleman's name was Worldly Wiseman.
"Hello, good fellow," he said. "Where are you going in such a burdened manner?"
"I am on my way to the gate," Christian answered, "where I can learn how to be rid of this burden."
"Who told you to go to the gate?"
"A man named Evangelist."
"Oh, that villain! He has sent you down the hardest and most dangerous path in the world. Listen to me, please. If you stay on this path, you will meet lions, darkness, dragons, death and whatnot."
"But, sir, I don't care what I meet with, as long as I can be saved from this burden."
"If you would just listen to me, I could tell you about a man who can remove your burden, and instead of this dangerous path, you will find peace and friendship."
"Tell me more."
"His name is Mr. Legality, and he lives in a village called Morality. He has removed many burdens like yours, and his house is only a mile away from here, so you can be helped right away."
"Well, how do I get to this good man's house?" Christian asked.
"You must leave this path and walk over to that high hill. The first house you see will be his."
So Christian turned out of the way to go to Mr. Legality's house for help. But when he got near the hill, it seemed so high and hung so far out over the path that Christian was afraid it would fall on his head. So, not knowing what to do, he stood still. Suddenly, fire came flashing out of the side of the hill, and Christian expected to be burned up on the spot. Just then, who should he see walking towards him but Evangelist?
"What are you doing here, Christian?" he asked. "Aren't you the man I found crying outside the City of Destruction?"
"Yes, dear sir, I am."
"Didn't I tell you how to reach the gate?"
"Yes, sir, you did."
Then why have you turned aside so quickly? You are no longer on your way to the gate.
Because I met a man who told me that if I went to the village of Morality, a man named Mr. Legality would remove my burden.
Listen to me. God's word says, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You have begun to draw back. You have disobeyed the word of God and listened to Mr. Worldly Wise Man. And it has almost cost you your life.
Then Christian fell down and began to cry. But Evangelist took him by the hand and said, All manner of sin and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men. Do not be faithless, but believing.
Listen closely to what I will tell you now, he continued. Mr. Legality represents the law of God, which can never take away your burden. You cannot be justified by the works of the law.
After saying this, Evangelist called out to the heavens to confirm what he had just said.
With that, words and fire came out of the mountain under which poor Christian stood. And these were the words that came out of the mountain. As many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Now Christian looked for nothing but death.
What do you think? He asked Evangelist. Will I still be allowed in at the gate?
You have committed two sins. You have disobeyed the word of God, and you have walked in a forbidden path. But the man at the gate will let you in, because he has goodwill towards men. But do not leave the path again.
Then Evangelist gave Christian a smile and bid him Godspeed. And so Christian hurried on towards the gate. He did not stop to speak with anyone along the way. And when anyone spoke to him, he did not answer. He knew he would not be safe until he was back on the path. At last, Christian came to the gate. Now over the gate was a sign that read, Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And so Christian knocked and knocked with all his might and said, May I now enter here? Will he within open to sorry me, though I have been an undeserving rebel? Then shall I not fail to sing his lasting praise on high? At last a man named Goodwill came to the gate.
Who is there? He said. And what do you want?
I am a poor burdened sinner. I was born in the city of destruction, but I am going to Mount Zion so that I may escape from the wrath to come. And since I have been told, sir, that I can only get there through this gate, I want to know if you are willing to let me in.
I am willing with all my heart. Come in.
As Christian was stepping through the gate, Goodwill reached out, grabbed him, and quickly pulled him inside.
Why did you do that? Christian asked.
Because Beelzebub's castle is nearby. And from that castle, he and his demons shoot arrows at pilgrims and try to kill them before they make it through the gate.
Now that Christian was safely inside, Goodwill asked him who had sent him to this gate.
Evangelist told me to come and knock, he answered. And he said that you, sir,
would tell me what to do.
An open door is set before you, and no man can shut it.
Now I am being rewarded for all of the danger I have faced.
Goodwill rubbed his beard slowly and looked at Christian.
Why have you come alone? Didn't any of your neighbors know that you had left the City of Destruction?
Yes, my wife and my children saw me leaving, and they called after me to return. But I put my fingers in my ears and ran.
And no one followed you?
Yes, Obstinate and Pliable chased me. But when they saw that I was not going back, Obstinate left in a huff, and Pliable walked with me a little way.
Then where is he now?
When we fell into the Slough of Despond, he would not go with me any further. Instead, he went back to the City of Destruction.
Poor man! Does heaven mean so little to him that he will not put up with a few difficulties in order to get there?
Christian looked straight down at his muddy shoes and slowly shook his head.
I am no better than Pliable. It's true, he returned to the City of Destruction, but I listened to Mr. Worldly Wiseman and turned aside into the way of death.
Oh, did he find you? He would have sent you to Mr. Legality. Both of them are cheats. And you took his advice?
I tried to reach Mr. Legality's house, but the mountain nearby looked as if it would fall on my head, and so I stopped.
That mountain has been the death of many travelers, and it will be the death of many more. It is a good thing that you have escaped being crushed by it.
It was God's mercy that Evangelist found me there, or else I would never have made it this far. And now, although I should have died by that mountain, I am standing here talking with my Lord.
We do not turn anyone away, no matter what they have done in the past. So come with me, Christian, and I will teach you about the way you must go. Look in front of you. Do you see this narrow way? This is the way you must go. It was built by the patriarchs, the prophets, Christ, and his apostles. It is straight as can be. This is the way you must go.
But, Christian asked, are there any turns or winding paths where I could get lost?
Yes, there are many other ways that cut across this one. But you always tell the right way and the wrong way apart, because only the right way is straight and narrow.
Then I saw in my dream that Christian asked Goodwill to help him off with his burden. But Goodwill told him to be patient and to carry it a little further until he came to the place of deliverance, where his burden would fall off by itself. Although he was still weary from his burden, Christian left his friend Goodwill and continued on his journey. Soon he came to the home of a man called Interpreter, where he knocked over and over until the door was opened to him.
I have come from the City of Destruction, he told Interpreter, and I am going to the Celestial City. Goodwill told me that if I came here, you would show me excellent things that would help me on my way.
And so Interpreter invited Christian in and led him to a private room where a picture of a very serious-looking man hung on the wall. The man in the picture had eyes lifted up towards heaven. The best of books was in his hands, and the law of truth was on his lips. The whole world was behind his back. He stood as if he pleaded with men, and a crown of glory hung over his head.
What does this picture mean? Christian asked.
I have shown you this picture first, because this is the only man whom the Lord has authorized to guide you along your way to the celestial city. You can see that his eyes are looking towards heaven. The Bible is in his hands, and the law of truth is on his lips. This means that his work is to understand and to explain difficult things to sinners. You see also that he is pleading with men and has turned his back on the world, and a crown of glory hangs over his head. This shows you how he loves to serve his Lord, and someday he will be rewarded for his work. So be careful and remember what you have seen, or else in your journey you may meet some that pretend to help you, but they will lead you to your death. Then Interpreter took Christian by the hand and led him into a large, dusty room. The room had never been swept clean, and so Interpreter called for a man to bring a broom and a sweep. As soon as he did, the dust began to fly around and fill the room with a heavy grey cloud. Christian couldn't breathe. He started to cough and choke. Interpreter then called for a young girl to come and to bring water to sprinkle on the floor. The water held the dust down, and the girl swept the floor clean.
And what does this mean? Christian asked.
This room is like a man's heart before it is cleansed by the grace of God. The dust is his sin. The first man who tried to sweep the room was the law. But he could not do it, and you were almost choked, because the law cannot make you clean. It can show you your sin and forbid you to sin, but it does not have the power to control your sin. Now the young girl who sprinkled the room with water is the gospel. And when she came in with her sweet power over the heart, sin was subdued and the room was made clean. Then I saw in my dream that Interpreter took Christian by the hand again and led him into a room that had a fireplace. An angry-looking man was standing next to it and throwing water on the fire. And yet the fire burned higher and hotter.
What does this mean?
Christian asked.
This fire is like the work of God's grace in a man's heart. The one throwing water on the fire, trying to put it out, is the devil. But you can see that the fire does not go out. Instead, it burns higher and hotter. Come, I will show you why.
So they walked around to the other side of the wall, where Christian saw a man secretly pouring oil into the fire.
This man is Christ, Interpreter told him. He keeps the fire burning with the oil of his grace. No matter what the devil may do, the souls of God's people are filled with grace.
Interpreter once again took Christian by the hand. This time he led him out to a beautiful palace. Walking back and forth on the top of the palace were people dressed all in gold. Christian was delighted.
May we go inside? He asked.
Interpreter did not answer,
but took him up towards the palace door. There Christian saw a great crowd of men. All of them wanted to go inside, but they did not dare. Not far from the door was a man sitting at a table. In front of him was a book where he could write down the names of anyone who wanted to enter the palace. But right in front of the palace door were soldiers in armor, ready to fight with anyone who wanted to get past them and into the palace. The whole crowd of men began to move slowly backwards in fear, except for one who burst through the crowd, walked up to the table near the door and cried, "Sir, write down my name." With that, he drew his sword, put on his helmet, and rushed at the door. The soldiers attacked him with deadly force, but he fought back fiercely. At last, when he had given and received many wounds, he pressed forward into the palace. As he did, the people on top of the palace began to sing, "Come in, come in, eternal glory you will win." So he went inside, and he also was given golden clothing. Christian smiled and said, "I know what this means. Let me go in as well."
"No," said Interpreter. "Stay here a little longer. I have more to show you."
So he took him by the hand once again and led him into a very dark room where a man sat alone inside an iron cage. Now the man was very sad to look upon. He sat with his hands folded, his eyes looking at the ground, and he sighed as if his heart would break.
"What are you?"
Christian asked. "I am what I once was not. I once was very religious, both in my eyes and in the eyes of others. I once was, so I thought, on my way to the celestial city."
"But what are you now?"
"I am now a man of despair, shut up in an iron cage. I cannot get out. Oh, now I cannot."
"But how did you come here?"
"I left off watching against temptation. I sinned against the light of the word and against the goodness of God. I have grieved the Spirit and he is gone. I have tempted the devil and he has come to me. I have so hardened my heart that I cannot repent."
"But is there no hope but that you must be kept in the iron cage of despair?"
"No, no hope at all."
"Why? The Son of the Blessed is full of pity."
"I have despised his person. I have despised his righteousness. I have treated his blood as if it were an unholy thing, and therefore I have shut myself out of all the promises. Nothing is left for me but threatenings, dreadful threatenings, fearful threatenings of certain judgment which shall devour me."
"For what did you bring yourself into this condition?"
"For the lusts and pleasures of this world. I thought that I would find delight in them, but now they only bite me."
"But can't you repent and turn from your sins?"
"God has not given me repentance. He has shut me up in this iron cage. All the men in the world could not let me out. Oh, eternity, eternity, I will be miserable for eternity." Then Interpreter said to Christian,
"Always remember this man's misery. Let it be an everlasting caution to you."
God help me to turn away from the sin that caused this man so much misery," he answered. "But, sir, is it time for me to leave yet?"
"You will be on your way soon, but I have one last thing to show you."
Interpreter led Christian by the hand one last time. He took him to see a man sitting up in bed and shaking with fear.
"Why are you shaking so?" Christian asked. "Last night," the man began to answer, "I dreamt that the sky turned black. Thunder shook my room. Lightning flashed. I looked up and I saw the clouds blow apart. And then I heard a trumpet. I saw a man sitting on a cloud with the angels of heaven around him. The sky became a burning flame. And then I heard a voice saying, 'Arise, ye dead, come to judgment.' Rocks split, graves opened, and the dead came out. Some of them were very glad, and some of them tried to hide. I watched as the man on the cloud called the whole world to come close to him. 'Gather together the tares and the chaff and the stubble,' he said, 'and cast them into the burning lake.' With that, the burning pit opened up right by my feet. Out of it came smoke and fire and hideous noises. The man on the cloud then said, 'Gather my people together.' Suddenly many people were carried up into the clouds, but I was left behind. I tried to hide, but I could not, because the man that sat on the cloud kept looking right at me. I thought that the day of judgment had come and that I was not ready for it. What scared me most was that the angels carried many people into heaven and I was left behind. And then the ground opened up and I saw the pit of hell in front of me. I thought about my sins and the man who sat on the clouds. He kept looking straight at me. And in his face, I saw only anger."
Then Interpreter said to Christian, "Remember all that I have shown you as you travel on from here. May the Comforter always be with you and guide you to the celestial city. Now I saw in my dream that Christian left Interpreter's house and started walking down a path. The path had high walls on both sides, and at the end of the path was a tall cross. Christian ran up the road, although it was very difficult, because the burden was still on his back. Just as he came to the foot of the cross, his burden came loose and fell from his back. It tumbled and tumbled until it tumbled into a tomb, and it was never seen again. Then Christian was glad and said, 'Jesus has given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death.' He just stood and looked at the cross for the longest time, surprised that just the sight of it would make the burden fall from his back. He looked and looked at the cross until tears began to roll down his cheeks. Now as he stood there, looking and crying, three shining ones came to him and greeted him. 'Peace be to you,' said the first one. 'Your sins have been forgiven,' said the second. He then removed Christian's filthy rags and gave him clean new clothes. The third one put a mark on Christian's forehead and gave him a scroll with a seal on it. He told Christian to read from the scroll as he traveled on his way, and then to hand it in when he reached the celestial city. As the shining ones left Christian alone, he gave three leaps for joy and went on his way singing,
This far I came, burdened with my sin. Nothing could ease the grief that I was in until I came here. What a place is this! Must here be the beginning of my bliss? Must here the burden fall from my back? Blessed cross, blessed tomb! Blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me.